thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ. And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. You can get those slides on the go. I'm going to just work from here for a little while. And all I want to do really today is I want to talk about the meaning of the Lord's Supper. What is it? What is it supposed to do? This is something that the church is so well known for, no matter what denomination you've been a part of in your life, or even if you're not, never been part of a church, you know there's this kind of bread and wine thing. And we do it here once a month. And every year we want to just stop and think about what this is. What is it supposed to achieve? Why has God given it to his church and said, do this? And I want to have another layer on this sort of teaching today, and that is for parents. We really want to help you to perhaps understand when your children ask you what this is, and should they do it or should they not do it? Maybe you're sort of wondering for yourself whether you should or shouldn't do it, grab a piece of bread or a cup of juice. I want to explain it in a way that for you as a parent or a grandparent or a caregiver might be helpful as well. How do we talk about this to our children? How do we talk about it to ourselves? What is it supposed to do? And how I want to do it is I want to start with a question of when we see the elements of the Lord's Supper, which is a piece of bread and a bit of juice, which represents some wine. Okay, I'm asking a metaphorical question here. Where should we look when we look at these two things? What should we see with our mind's eye? These two elements, this cup of juice, this piece of bread, what should it bring to mind in us when we see it? Where do we look? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you through four places where we should look. And it's very simple. We need to look in the past behind us. We need to look into the future, what's ahead of us. We need to look now at the present, what's going on now. And finally, we need to look around us. Okay? We need to look behind us. We need to look ahead of us. We need to look at now. And we need to look at what's around us. So let me step through that. I'm going to ask for some of your help. At each point, I just want to read a couple of Bible verses, maybe say a few words and then move to the next one pretty quickly. Pete and Mark, are we screen sharing for the guys at home, the PowerPoint? Don't go through any agony, but if we can, that'll be helpful. Okay, when we look at the bread, at the wine, we need to look behind us. And what is it that we need to see behind us? Can I ask someone, I want to be a bit interactive here, to just read for me those Bible verses up there, just in a nice loud voice, please.
And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sin. Matthew 26:28.
Thank you, Dana. Yeah. We need to look behind us. We need to look at the fact that in history, before he went to the cross, Jesus Christ sat down with a group of people, and he said these words. He said, "This piece of bread represents my body. This cup of wine represents my blood. I'm going to go to a cross tomorrow. I am going to die so that the sin of whoever believes in me will be forgiven." That happened. That is real. That is true. And the gospel, the Christian message, what lies at the core of it, if you're here today for the first time, is that there is a God who made you, who loves you, who wants to know you. But he can't for as long as the sin that is in you is not dealt with. It's hurtful a bit, painful a bit, offensive a bit, but each and every single one of us are sinful. God is not. That sin needs to be what the Bible calls atoned for, paid for, if you will. It needs to be paid for, but by something incredibly precious. I love the words of this song that we sang earlier. I'm going to read some of them again to us. "And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time," and this is the testimony of every person who's placed their faith in Christ, "for the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting. Life has no end, for I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied." We need to see that when we look at the bread and the wine. It lies behind us in human history. If you're a Christian, it lies behind you in your life to the point where you first said yes. I believe in this. There is further history in a Passover meal, but I'm not going to talk about that. We'll talk about that in later weeks. But that's it for today. We need to look back when we see this. But not only look back, we also need to look forward. We need to look ahead. We don't know how long into the future, but as real as this past is, as real is this future that this Lord's Supper is meant to remind us of. Now let me ask another person to read for us these verses. Sorry, Pete Wambach. Can you move me back? It seems to jump ahead. Can someone read this to us, please? Thank you, Karen. This is talking about a future time when God is going to wrap up human history. The Bible talks about a new creation, a new heavens, a new earth, a recreated reality in which those who are in Christ will live. And I love what it depicts here. It talks about no more death. We see that in Revelation, in the end of the Bible, tears are wiped away, no more crying, no more pain. But what is it that Isaiah tells us we will find as the climax of that new heavens and new earth? It's a feast. God is inviting his people and saying at the very end of it all, there is going to be a rich feast, a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine. Do you ever think of heaven as that? Do you ever think of your final destination as that? As the fact that you are going to sit at a table of sorts with God himself. And the celebration is going to be with the finest of foods. And I think that's why today I wanted us to have this table set up here. You know, often when we do the Lord's Supper, I think, and I'm not critical of it, but the little piece of bread and the little cup of juice hardly conveys, I think, something of the, I mean, you can't imagine this. Think of the most expensive dinner you've ever had. Think of the foodies here, right? Think of the no expenses spared. The thing that God wants to be known for at that end is not the stinginess, but the rich wealth of food that we're going to share in the presence and the company of Jesus. So when we see this, we not only need to look back, we do need to look ahead. And it does need to create in us, in a certain sense, a great longing and a great desire and, dare I say, a great hope. That as the world wears on, oh, how we long for the feast, for that mountain, that time, that place where we will have this feast. But there won't be any pain, any sorrow. No one's death to commemorate or remember. None of it. It's astonishing, dear friends. We need to look back. We need to look ahead. But now it gets interesting, for me at least. We also need to look at what is happening right now. You see, the reality is that for many of us, you know, this past seems very far away. It's 2,000 years ago. It seems very irrelevant to what you're experiencing in your life right now. The future is an unknown distance away. It too sometimes can feel a little bit far away, right? You say, this is what I'm suffering from and under right now, but I'm only 16. Or 14. I have the rest of my life to go, right, on this earth. Say, today I am not really feeling like a child of God. Today my sense of guilt for past failures is haunting me mercilessly. Today my fear over something in my life is real. Today my exhaustion is acute. I'm tired. I feel like giving up. Today my anger or my bitterness is imprisoning me. My temptation, in fact my addictions to sin that I'm grappling with has the better of me even this week, even this day. And I don't seem to live the life that God has called me into. Today, my grief is unbearable. I get those things behind, I get those things before, but what about now? Now, today. My dear friends, this supper is for you and for me, for what's with us today. You know, my body cannot get to tomorrow without eating something, feeding it, nourishing it. It's no good when I'm feeling exhausted and faint to say to my body, oh, but you remember you've eaten last week, right? And yeah, you'll eat again next week. No. I need to be fed now. My body needs to be nourished so that I can live and have the strength to carry on. So too, my dear friends, your faith in Christ, who is real, who is here, who is in you, who stands beside you in your grief, in your weakness as you battle sin, in your anger, in your bitterness, in your worry, in your fear, and in your anxiety. You know what makes Christ real and his power manifest in your life? It is faith. And he gives us this meal to strengthen that faith, to remind you that he is here, to remind you of these remarkable words of Romans 8, verse 38 to 39, when it feels distant and far away, that we can, in the eating and drinking of this, say that I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have him today. You have all of him. Every promise that he has made to you for placing your faith in him is yours and will be fulfilled no matter what. Let your faith and certainty in that promise be nourished as you eat this. Let it feed you. Let it strengthen you. This is a spiritual feast that is supposed to give you the energy and the strength to carry on in the battle of following Jesus until you're at the feast. It's the wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper. It's not the bread and the wine. It's Jesus himself. Have him. Have him. Have all of him. It's wonderful words from John. Pete, can you scroll me on? Can I get someone to read it for us, please? Thank you, Grace. Eats my flesh, drinks my blood. This isn't something physical Jesus is talking about. This is spiritual. Your soul, your spirit, feed on me. I am the one who will lead you through. And the Lord's Supper is us doing that, right? The spiritual feast. So friends, we look at what's behind us. We remember. We look at what's ahead with great longing. But we look at now, who Jesus is now, and what we need from him now. We're all unique. We're in unique places, unique sins, unique failures, unique challenges, unique fears, unique worries. Let all of those things be overcome in faith in Christ, strengthened by this supper today. And lastly, not only do we look behind, ahead, now. This is so beautiful. We look around us. This is why you're seated like that to a degree today, partly that you can see each other. You see, chances are very few of us would actually have been friends or known each other today had it not been for what's in the middle of this room. It's Jesus that brings us together. In fact, I would argue that you can't actually truly, fully know another person unless you know him in Jesus or her. It's in Jesus that we truly know and are able to love others. Jesus binds us together like nothing in the existence of humanity can. It is Jesus that unites us to each other in a deep and a wonderful and incredible way. And then we can add to that, it's not just perhaps the 70 odd of us who are sitting here today that are feeding off this one common Christ. Think about the estimated 2.8 billion people who call themselves Christian in the world today, who all feed off this one body, Christ. Think about the multitudes in history, even before him, who in their own way fed off this one body, Christ. This supper is meant to let us see each other. Let us see the fact that this is not firstly about me. It is about the body that I've been joined to. I am part of the family. The best family in the world. Who I am here to love and be loved by. Whose fellowship I'm called to share. Can someone read to us just Corinthians, the next verse? Thanks, Pete. How great is that? Because there is one loaf, there is one Christ. We who are many are one body. We all share in the one loaf. All right. Let me wrap up. It's okay if you don't remember all the verses and all the details and all the passages. But I think it's simple enough for us to say we want to look behind us. Remember what Christ has done. We want to look ahead of us. What Christ will do. We want to look at now what Christ is doing. Now. We want to look around us. And as we do that, 1 Corinthians 10:16, last verse that I will read for us. Paul says, is not the cup of thanksgiving, that's this little cup here, right? A participation in the blood of Christ is not the bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ. A participation literally means a fellowship. If you eat this, if you drink this, you are participating in Christ. We can spend a whole day on contemplating what does it mean to participate in Christ. It means a lot more than just eating the food and drinking the wine. It means you're joined to Him internally. You are a new creation. You're something else, new. This is very deep. Participating in His body in history. You're going to participate in the feast that is to come. You're going to participate in the power and the transforming thing that He's doing in your life right now and all the promises. You're a part of it. So this morning, if that's what you want, even without perhaps fully understanding it with the maturity that you want, but if that's what you want, yes, I want to participate in the Lord Jesus, then this feast is for you. You should come. But before you do, I'm going to pray for us briefly. And can I invite our music team to come on up? As they go on up, let me lead you in a brief prayer. And then we're going to sing a song that teaches us more or less much of what I just said in beautiful lyrics. And as we sing it, pray that you'd just feel its wonder, its beauty. Express the gratitude for God that might be inside you. Express your longing. Express confession. Ask for His help, whatever it is. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that we are called to participate in your Son. And I ask this morning, we will all do so. Deeply, richly, satisfyingly, liberatingly, gratifyingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Please would you stand? Let's sing together and then we'll...